Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
Welcome to Take Pride in Retirement, the podcast dedicated to helping members of the LGBTQ plus community protect and grow their hard-earned money. Get set for a show full of education and insights with your host and advisor, Matt McClure. We recognize every family is unique. The goal of the show is to help you achieve financial freedom so you and your loved ones can have the retirement you've always dreamed of. A retirement you can take pride in, no matter who you are, where you're from, or who you love. So now, let's start the show. Here's Matt McClure.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Take Pride in Retirement. Matt McClure here with you, your host, your advisor, your friend, your pal, and your confidant. Thanks so much for being a part of things, as always, this time around. Really do appreciate it. You know, this is the show where we just really recognize that your particular life journey is unique, and that is why you need a retirement plan that is customized just for that particular unique journey, because there is only one you, after all. Am I going to do the same plan that somebody else does? No, it's not one size fits all. It's customized to you. And so that is, you know, especially true too, you know, here in the LGBTQ plus community, where there are chosen families, there are diverse kinds of relationships, unique financial challenges. Those are all very common things. And so I just really, really thank you for being here as part of the show this time and every time. And speaking of this time, we're going to talk about that personalized plan, how to create one that works for you so that you can make sure you're ready to retire. You can make sure that you are ready to have that retirement that you can take pride in. That really is what it's all about. It's what it's all about every time, but we're going to really hone in on some specific aspects of that coming up here in just a few minutes. Now, also, I wanted to say, if you have not been to the website, please go there. It's takeprideinretirement.com. That's takeprideinretirement.com. You can do a few things there. You can find links to the socials, the YouTubes, the all the things, and to the podcast as well. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also see a nice welcome video there that introduces you to me and why I do what I do. There's also a contact form. You can fill that out if you just have general questions or if you want to schedule a time to meet. Best thing to do, though, there on the website, takeprideinretirement.com, is to click on schedule a consultation, and that will take you directly into my calendar. You'll see my real-time availability, and you can also schedule a consultation there with me. It's free of any cost. It's free of any obligation. I'll do a deep dive into your particular situation, see if I can help you out. And if I can, I'll tell you. If I can't, I'll tell you. If you're already on the right track, I will tell you that. You know, that's why I say there's no obligation. There's no obligation to continue working with me. I'm not a high pressure guy. And so, that's just not how I operate. So I would appreciate you going there. You can also give me a call if you would like, 855-246-9211. That's 855-246-9211. All right. So now that that's out of the way, now that the cat's out of the bag, now that part of the festivities are out of the way here, what are we talking about today? Well, a few things. We've got why you can't really prepare for your retirement as your parents did, or as your grandparents did, the same exact way, right? Times change, things change. It's obviously especially true for LGBTQ plus folks. And so we're going to talk about that. It's also Life Insurance Awareness Month. I'm going to talk about the importance of it, and especially the importance of it as part of your retirement plan. There are a new record number now of 401k millionaires. I'm going to talk about that and kind of what that data can teach LGBTQ plus savers and investors about consistency and about confidence going into retirement. I'm also going to talk about some proposed cuts to cancer research. I've got a very special guest who I actually talked to just a couple of weeks ago before Congress is back in session and all that. So that's going to be a great conversation here just after we get to the quote of the week. And well, speaking of which, why don't we do that now and get some inspiration for this conversation we're going to have with our quote of the week.
And now for some financial wisdom. It's time for the quote of the week.
And this week's quote comes from independent filmmaker and author Wayne Gerard Trotman. And he said this: burying your head in the sand does not make you invisible. It only leads to suffocation. Burying your head in the sand does not make you invisible. It only leads to suffocation. Boy, that is true. You know, I found out in an early age, if I just ignored something, that did not mean that it went away. That just meant that the problem usually just got worse. And so if you bury your head in the sand, you try to ignore things, you try to put things off, you try to delay, that doesn't make the situation any better. It usually just only delays the inevitable and or makes the situation worse. So Wayne Gerard Trotman there with a great, great quote of the week for this week's episode. The president's federal budget proposal for fiscal year 2026 calls for deep cuts to the National Institutes of Health and the National Cancer Institute, a couple of agencies there that really support a broad range of scientific and clinical research. And here to talk with me some about those proposed cuts is Dr. Julie Grelow. She is the chief medical officer and executive vice president of the American Society of Clinical Oncology. Dr. Grelow, great to speak with you once again. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Well, you know, I sort of hit the high point here, or the low point, I guess, with that proposed funding cut, just kind of hitting that in general. Give us some more details. How big are these proposed cuts, and what kind of an effect can that have on specifically cancer research in this country?
Well, first of all, while the president's budget proposed these 40% cuts, it's Congress that ultimately decides the budget. So we do have an opportunity to convince Congress on the importance of cancer research funding. And indeed, in late August, the Senate committee approved a bill that would actually slightly increase funding for the NIH and NCI. So we've got this huge gap here between what the president has proposed, what Congress is looking at, and it's like the start in a long process that has many steps, but we only have till September 30th. We have to pass a bill funding the federal government for 2026 by September 30th. So the time is now to be talking about this.
Yeah, and it's super important, obviously. I mean, I would imagine that federal funding has really helped support and fund research for all different types of cancer, right?
Right. So federal cancer research funding that comes from the government, first of all, it tends to fund the basic, or what we call the foundational research that drives the new breakthroughs. So at the laboratory level, for example, understanding what causes cancer, what takes a normal cell and turns it into a cancer cell. How does the cancer cell evade the immune system, et cetera? So we get those ideas, we get hypotheses, we test things in the lab, and then we move them farther and farther along until they're in the clinic and we can use them as the next breakthrough. But federal cancer research also fills a lot of other unmet needs that private industry really doesn't have the incentive to conduct. So, for example, trials on prevention and screening, or treatment of rare cancers, where there would never be, if a drug comes out of it, a lot of people who would get it, or studies that are comparing effectiveness and safety of different treatments. That's federally funded research looking at de-escalating treatment, you know, the doses of drugs, looking at supportive care, and looking at childhood cancers. That's another small population, for example, that generally is an unmet need, not funded by industry.
Yeah. And could, you know, if these funding cuts were to go through, obviously it would be just seemingly devastating to that process, to the beginning process of this, you know, research that's you know, either just starting or has been ongoing. If that were to happen, I mean, is there a way that research institutions, or, you know, other organizations could kind of fill those funding gaps, philanthropic efforts or something like that. I mean, it just seems to me like it could be so devastating. And you know, hopefully there would be at least some sort of way to combat that loss of funding.
Well, it's clear that a lot of breakthroughs would be put on the shelf and progress would be slowed. I don't think that it's likely that this would be funded through private donors or philanthropy. I do think that other countries might be able to pick up the pace. And indeed, we're already starting to see some signs of what we call brain drain, where, you know, our early career, our best and our brightest are being recruited into other countries. Germany, for example, has put out a big announcement, you know, saying, we'll fund you, come here. So I think that if it's picked up, it would not be within the US, it would potentially be through other governments.
Yeah, and that's, you know, at least the research would continue, but obviously devastating for the United States and our sort of place in the world as this, you know, leading medical research destination. I mean, we've really led the way on medical innovation in so many different ways. And, you know, obviously that the cutting of this funding would then really be devastating, I think, for, and these may not be immediately felt, obviously, because research is a long process, but it could really be felt by patients and caregivers and providers. Just a little bit down the road, just based on the fact that there would be less innovation, at least here at home.
Right, and there would be less clinical trials for our patients to enroll in if they've already had all the standard treatments and they're looking for, could they potentially contribute to science and maybe have access to the next big breakthrough that we haven't discovered yet? So there are lots of impacts, both direct and indirect. We have been leaders in cancer research in the world, and we would certainly lose ground. We've been the envy of rest of world in terms of our achievements. Many of the achievements that are currently standard of care in how we treat cancer, you know, came from federal research funding.
Just about time, Dr. Grelo, for us to wrap things up here. But anything else that you wanted to mention, maybe where our listeners could go to learn more or to, you know, speak out, maybe call their congressional representative to you know, push for this funding to be continued?
Absolutely. With the 2026 budget deadline of September 30th, this is a great time to call your congressional representatives and tell them to support federal cancer research. You can visit our website, asco.org/save research, for more information with some of the numbers you could give to your congresspeople and some more information on this issue. I mean, we annually are projected this year in 2025 to have 2 million new cases of cancer in the U.S. diagnosed and over 600,000 deaths. So this is something where we still need to do a lot more work, and we can't let our progress slow now.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, Dr. Julie Grelo is the Chief Medical Officer and Executive Vice President of the American Society of Clinical Oncology. Dr. Grelo, thank you so much once again. Really do appreciate your time.
Thanks for relaying this important message, Matt.
So moving on now to why you cannot prepare for your retirement the same way that your parents did, or certainly that your grandparents did, right? I mean, things change, times change, people change, all of those things, right? So there are things that lead to you not being able to do exactly the same thing that they did. I mean, number one is a changing retirement age. You know, I mean, it used to be you might retire earlier. You know, you might have retired by the time you were 60 or even earlier than that. Life expectancy was not as long as it is today. And that kind of goes into our next point. So I'm teasing that a little bit, but the changing retirement age really presents some challenges. It also presents some opportunities as well. You know, some LGBTQ plus folks will work longer for financial security, work longer for healthcare coverage. Others, though, do aim for an early retirement to really enjoy life to the fullest. I know I've got a young client who I've talked about before, mentioned briefly on the show, and that is, he's in his early 30s. That is, his goal is to retire early, and he's well on his way to doing that. And so he started planning very, very early in order to be doing that. And I said, you know, you are just extremely, extremely smart doing this planning the way that you are, because not a lot of people do that. You know, most people in their 20s and early 30s, especially, are not even thinking about the life that lies down the road that is, you know, so far away, seemingly, until it sneaks up on you. And then, oop, here it is. Am I prepared? No. Well, what do I do? I don't know. Now I got to play catch up. But he's getting well ahead of things. And so that is just a very good sign for him and the way that things will go for his life, I'm sure. So yeah, changing retirement age is really a big reason why you can't plan for retirement the same way that your parents did, or certainly your grandparents. A longer life expectancy, I sort of gave that one away a minute ago. outliving your money is a real risk. And that is what we call longevity risk, right? The fear of, or the risk of, outliving your money, having more lifespan than you do money to pay for the things that you need to pay for in your retirement years. And so LGBTQ plus people, you know, often lack the safety net of adult children to care for them in their old age. And so, you know, that would lead to increased healthcare costs, long-term care costs, potentially later on in retirement. And so, you know, guaranteed income strategies are even more critical for LGBTQ plus folks as a result. We need to have those guaranteed income sources that are going to last the rest of our life, no matter how long that life may be. A decline in pensions. This is one that I mentioned quite a bit. If you've joined the show before, it is just so important to know, and so important to keep focused on, because it's one of the main reasons why the face of retirement planning, the way that we plan for retirement, has changed over the years. A decline in pensions. Fewer and fewer people have traditional pensions these days. You know, as I say, it used to be that you would go to work for a company for X number of years, usually 40 years. And after you've been there for decades, you retire, they give you a gold watch and your pension, and you go on out the door, you have income the rest of your life. Well, those pensions, those traditional pensions through workplaces, are few and far between these days. They, you know, have creeped back up here and there. Certain employees at certain companies may have them. One of the things that is good about, you know, government jobs, especially, you know, federal employee jobs, is the fact that the pensions are still around in those positions. And so that's a good thing. But it's very rare that you have your own sort of traditional pension, right? And so this is the thing that you need to keep in mind. But all hope is not lost, because you can create your own personal pension. Annuities can be a way to do that. Maybe, you know, income investments, income-based investments can be a way to do that, but, you know, to generate income in your retirement years, but the amount wouldn't be guaranteed, the amount of growth would not be guaranteed, and so that creates kind of a tricky situation. So that's why I prefer annuities, because a lot of people will go into their retirement years wanting to know what they're getting themselves into from a financial standpoint, at least having that floor, that, you know, strong foundation. And so that is a great, great thing. And especially for same-sex couples, singles, you know, just really can give a lot of peace of mind going into retirement. So creating your own personal pension through things like annuities really can help quite a bit. Social Security challenges. I mean, the 2023 is the year kind of keeps changing, but somewhere in there, 2023 or 2033, really. 2033. Yes, not 2 years ago. 2033. that's the year that the trust fund for Social Security is expected to be depleted unless something changes. I expect something to change between now and then, but there's still so much uncertainty that obviously that's not guaranteed. And at that point in time, the trust fund would be empty. So the only source of funds for Social Security would be people currently paying into the system. So once that trust fund is depleted, that means a good chunk of the benefits that are being paid out would go away. So benefits would have to be reduced as a result. And so really and truly, same-sex couples should be especially proactive with their claiming strategies for Social Security, spousal benefits, survivor benefits, things like that. And that's one thing that as a registered Social Security analyst, easy for me to say, I can help you with, help you kind of navigate that and determine what might be the best time, the most optimal time for you to get the most bang for your buck, as it were, as far as your Social Security income goes and when the right, you know, time to claim might be for one of you, both of you, ideally. And then, of course, healthcare costs, which I alluded to a minute ago, and inflation. I mean, rising costs, we've seen it over the past several years now. Rising costs post-COVID pandemic have really hit everybody. But the most vulnerable in society are the ones who will suffer the most. And LGBTQ plus retirees, especially those who are relying maybe on chosen family, have to be intentional about long-term care planning and inflation protection. Long-term care planning is crucial. Medicare does not cover long-term care. And inflation protection, meaning, you know, you're going to get that cost of living adjustment from Social Security, but at the same time, that may or may not actually keep up with the real pace of inflation, number one. And number two, is it going to be enough? And what do you do for the rest of whatever income sources you have? How is that going to increase over time? So, you know, there are ways to work in some guaranteed increases in your retirement income. There are ways to work in some ways that you could see possible increases, maybe some larger increases with fixed indexed annuities, things like that. So, you know, that's an important thing. And long-term care coverage can be part of an annuity as well. It can be added on as a rider to a lot of different policies. And sometimes the annuities, you know, may come with a feature that offers a lump sum payout in case of confinement to a nursing home or a long-term care facility, something like that. So those are options. But these are all reasons that the changing retirement age, longer life expectancy, decline in pensions, challenges with Social Security, healthcare costs, inflation, all of those are reasons why you cannot plan for retirement the same way that your parents did or that your grandparents did, surely. And so what I want to encourage you to do is go to the website, takeprideinretirement.com, takeprideinretirement.com, schedule a consultation with me, and I'll take a look at where you are now, come up with a plan for where you could be, and see if we can get you on the road to that retirement that you can take pride in. All right. Takeprideinretirement.com, once again, is the website, or the phone number is 855-246-9211, 855-246-9211. All right. So I also mentioned that September, the month that we are in now, if my calendar is correct, the month that we are in now, yes, is the month of September, and it is Life Insurance Awareness Month. And so, you know, life insurance is often thought of as death insurance, basically. You know, you'll get your survivors, your beneficiaries will get a lump sum payout for anything that is, you know, due to them. The death benefit payout will come to them once you are gone. But, and that's, of course, a huge part of life insurance, right? It's the main sort of part of life insurance that you want your loved ones to be taken care of after you are gone, and you want them to be able to make it financially after you are no longer around to either provide for them, help them out, however your situation works. But the thing is, yeah, kind of twofold here. Life insurance is not just about protection for yourself or your family. It's about love. It's about dignity. It's about security. for your particular family, however you define that, right? Because you name your beneficiaries. If you don't have any kids, you know, you can name a beneficiary that is a member of your chosen family, member of your tribe, as it were. And so that is something that's super important to know as well. And also, there aren't many people who actually think of, as I said a minute ago, think of life insurance beyond just the death benefit. And the death benefit obviously is important, but at the same time, there's much more than that. There are living benefits that you can take advantage of. There are ways to use life insurance to create an income stream. It's tax-free in your retirement years. It's a little more complicated to kind of set up and make sure that it all goes according to plan, but it can be done, and it can be a source of income in retirement that is tax-free. Something like an indexed universal life policy, for example, grows with the market, but is not invested in the market. And then you can use that to create a tax-free income stream in your retirement years. There's a big awareness gap, though, about life insurance. And a lot of people don't know. I was just reading this report that showed, you know, a lot of people really don't know what coverage they have through work. Usually you will have, if you work full-time and you've got a full benefits package, usually you'll have some type of life insurance. Most of the time, it is a term policy. It's a group term policy that'll be in effect for however long you're working for that particular company, and perhaps a little bit of time after that. And usually how it works is the base policy might be equivalent to the death benefit, might be equivalent to 100% of your annual salary, or like 2 times your annual salary, something like that. And you can buy up more, you can get paid up additions, as it were, as one of those sort of technical terms, but you can buy up to more to a more comprehensive policy, a bigger death benefit number. And so a lot of people don't know that they have coverage through work. A lot of people don't know what coverage they might have through work, or if it's enough coverage for them. And, you know, say 1 year salary, you know, maybe that might be enough if you have other coverage that supplements that, other plans that might supplement that and provide that tax-free death benefit to your loved ones after you're gone. Or, you know, say like a $20,000 policy, that's not generally going to be enough. And so, you know, that goes along with not knowing how much you have, you know, misunderstanding how much you have, and or misunderstanding how much coverage is actually enough for you. According to research from LIMRA, nearly half of households with only one workplace policy, coverage through one workplace policy, would face a hardship in less than 6 months. So, you know, if you've got one primary breadwinner in the house and that person has a policy that is through work, and maybe it's even a fairly robust policy that's through work, and it's got a larger, you know, a payout of a death benefit that's on the larger side. This particular research is showing that if you only have that one policy in effect, that one workplace policy, those people who are left behind would face financial hardship in less than 6 months. And you don't want that to happen. You want to make sure that your loved ones are taken care of. Chosen family, as I said, often depends on you. You depend on each other, right? And so ensuring protection is essential. It's not optional, it's essential. And so the big takeaway here is to, during this, you know, September, this Life Insurance Awareness Month, review your coverage, know what you need, consider maybe other supplemental options with a financial advisor or a professional like myself. And we can look at what might be a good option for you. There are other things that might pay out a death benefit. You can put beneficiaries on annuities. You can, and in that way, they could potentially inherit not just a lump sum, but an income stream for a certain number of years, right? And so that could mean a whole lot to your beneficiary in that policy. Also, you know, you can name beneficiaries in other avenues of investment, things like your IRAs, any other type of tax advantaged retirement plan, tax qualified retirement plan like that. So there are options out there. Let's explore those. Just go to takeprideinretirement.com. It's takeprideinretirement.com or 855-246-9211. I would love to help you break it down. All right. So some good news here that I want to share with you. And boy, couldn't we all use some of that. Saw this report this week that nearly 600,000 Americans now have more than $1 million or at least $1 million in their 401ks and IRAs. And the crowd goes wild, right? Great, great news. That's a record high. Nearly 600,000 Americans now having more than $1 million in retirement accounts. And what's going to be the takeaway from this, right? I mean, it's, yeah, that's great news. Okay, great. Wonderful. Move it on. Not quite, because there is something to take away from it. A couple of things, actually. Number one is how they did it. You've got to have consistency. You've got to always be contributing to those accounts. You've got to have some discipline. Don't be taking money out of those accounts, unless it's in, of course, a dire emergency. Something that you just, there's no other avenue for you to get money. And so maybe you have to borrow against your 401k or to take money out of the IRA, something like that. There will be penalties to pay. You'll miss out on a lot of growth. It's not an ideal situation to find yourself in. Explore all other options before you do that, right? And then, you know, also longevity, you know, sticking with it for the long haul. It can be easy, can be tempting to sort of play around with the stuff that's inside the underlying investments inside your IRA or your 401k. And, you know, yeah, you can change up the investment allocation in your 401k. You might not have even known you could do that, but yes, you can, usually through your workplace plan. And then of course you've got in an IRA, you've got more control over it because it's an individual retirement account, right? So it's something that you can actually control more easily. And that can lead to the temptation to do things like, oh, I'm going to pick this hot stock or that hot stock or this. I'm going to go NVIDIA. I'm going to go, you know, for Meta. I'm going to go all the tech stocks and all the hot tech stocks, all these things. But stock picking or emotionally investing or any of those things, not good when it comes to your retirement plan, definitely. So what you want to do is make sure and be in it for the long haul. Have your eyes on that prize that is drawing closer for all of us, that retirement date, but make sure that you've got your eye on that date or that roundabout time period where you want to retire and not look at the day to day. Because, you know, stock market goes up, stock market goes down, but over time, history has shown it will increase. The value of your investments will increase, but not if you are an emotional investor and make, you know, withdrawals at times when you shouldn't and make deposits at times that you shouldn't. It's not a good thing to try and time the market in that way. And then, you know, I mean, there's a generational breakdown here as well. Obviously, baby boomers, the baby boomer generation is kind of in the lead as far as the number of millionaires in their retirement accounts. Gen X as well is kind of right up there with the boomers. Millennials and Gen Z are building steadily. Obviously, they haven't been in the game quite as long as the Gen Xers and the boomers, but they're building steadily and need to continue doing so, right? I mean, you've got to keep your eyes, as I said, on that prize. That's for you. If you're a Gen Z or a millennial, especially a younger millennial, you are, you know, looking down the road and saying, oh, you know, it seems like it's a long way off my retirement, but trust me, time is going to start flying and you don't want to be caught unprepared later on. So make sure that you are consistent. Make sure you are disciplined and make sure you've got your eyes on the prize, on that longevity. Make sure you stay invested. And many people in the LGBTQ plus community as well face, you know, job interruptions, wage gaps, discrimination in other ways. And so that makes that discipline and that planning even more crucial because, you know, if other people aren't watching out for you, you've got to watch out for yourself. quite frankly. And I would love to work with you to help you along in that way. You know, again, you don't need to time the market. What you need is a plan that works for you and your family, however it looks, however it is constructed or composed. And so I would love to work with you. Again, takeprideinretirement.com is the website, takeprideinretirement.com, or 855-246-9211. That's 855-246-9211. Well, that is going to just about do it here for this particular edition of Take Pride in Retirement. Boy, it's come and gone quickly here this time around. But hey, if you are someone who is of any age, someone who is of any orientation or identity or, family composition and makeup, whatever your situation, now is the time to act. Don't put it off. Don't put planning off one more day. Because if you put it off, that doesn't make it go away, right? It's as I said in the quote of the week, burying your head in the sand does not make you invisible. It just leads to suffocation. And so you don't want to suffocate yourself. You don't want to make yourself in a worse situation. You don't want to lead to a worse situation than you are already in. And so just ignoring it and hoping it'll go away and I'll plan for that later. No, plan for it now. Plan for your retirement years now and do it with clarity and with pride. And I want to help you along in that road. And so I'm here to help people, no matter who you are, where you come from, who you love, how you identify, or how much money you have. I'm here to help you build a retirement you can take pride in. And so again, schedule that complimentary consultation at takeprideinretirement.com or give me a call, 855-246-9211. And, you know, your future really should be as bold and beautiful as you are as an LGBTQ+ person. I just felt like I was doing a intro to a soap opera there for a second, bold and beautiful as you. But yes, it should be. You should have a retirement you can take pride in because you deserve it. And I want to help you get there. Again, the website, takeprideinretirement.com. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the show. Thanks again so, so much for being a part of things this time around. And until next time, take pride in yourselves and take care of each other. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to Take Pride in Retirement. Members of the LGBTQ+ community deserve to work with a fiduciary financial advisor who puts their needs first. To schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Matt McClure and the team at Active Wealth Management, call 855-246-9211 or go online to takeprideinretirement.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Active Wealth Management Incorporated are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents.
Matt McClure and Active Wealth Management are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer.